In our series this summer, we are going through the names of God, and we have looked at Yahweh, which is the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush, a personal God. God introduced himself, and a self-existent God, the first and the last, and a delivering God we see in Yahweh. Last week we looked at Elohim, which is the plural name of God, and it's translated in the creation account, let us make man and woman, let us make man in our image. And so we begin to see the first inklings of God as Trinity that we see later in the New Testament. And today we only have a brief time, but we are going to look at the name of God, Adonai, which is the name translated Lord. Now, I did mention that in the English versions of the Bible, if you see Lord in all caps, that is referring to God as Yahweh or Jehovah. If it's Lord in lowercase letters, then it's referring to God as Adonai. And I think it was interesting to see how God indeed is Lord over all creation. And even as we looked at the video, there's a religion like Islam, which is an entrenched religion throughout the world, a religion that we would acknowledge as being man-made, though Muhammad would say he did receive a vision from God. We know that it doesn't align with God's word, but nonetheless we see Jesus breaking through, even in dreams and visions, to call people to himself. And many of these Muslims are acknowledging Christ as their Lord and beginning to follow him. Now, this word Adonai is one of the most magnificent titles for God in the Old Testament. It comes from the root word Adnan, which is translated Lord, and which means master or sovereign one. Adnan is used in the Bible both in reference to human masters and God. And in Genesis 45, when Joseph declares to his father, God has made me Lord over all Egypt, Joseph referred to himself as Lord as Adnan. Now, in Scripture, when the word Adnan is used, it's used of God as Adonai, and it is only used, Adonai is only used of God, not of people. And so this word the prophet employs in our Scripture passage that we're going to look briefly at today in Isaiah 6. So let's look at Isaiah 6, and let us read this together. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So here we actually see two names of God in play. In the beginning part of this passage in verse 1, when Isaiah describes that he saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, he is using the word Adonai. He is seeing God as Lord, who is emphatically and absolutely sovereign. Now, what does it mean that God is sovereign? Well, on the one hand, it means that God is omnipotent, that he's all-powerful, but the word sovereign also has the connotation of authority, that God has the authority to impose his will on all creation. No one can hope to oppose him. Ultimately, God will have his will be done. In Isaiah's vision, he sees God as being high and lifted up. He is above all powers, above all rulers. He reigns over all things. He is the sovereign God. He is Lord. Now, here in the United States, we're celebrating this weekend our our Independence Day, and I think even the name Independence Day, we are independent of the rule of Great Britain many 200 plus years ago. But we as Americans value our independence. We value our freedom, and I think we're not so good at submitting to authority as a country, and maybe in our lives, even our system of government. We've broken it up into three branches, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, because we don't want to have too much power in one place, so we want to have checks and balances. Now, we visited Singapore to visit Grace's family not too long after the tragedy of 9/11. And I remember speaking to someone there, and they were asking me, why don't, in light of this tragedy, and that was actually the second bombing of the World Trade Center, why don't you give up some of your freedoms for security? And in Singapore, I'm not an expert at Singapore government, but it's basically that they do elections, but it's basically a one-party system, and in a sense, it's not a dictator, but it's a benevolent leader. And in Singapore, the government is very intrusive in people's lives, and they have much security and they have much prosperity, but they do have a trade-off in terms of freedom. And so even when it comes to dating, the government tries to encourage dating for singles and tries to set up cruises and the like. And I think one of Grace's cousins actually works for an office of the government that encourages the promotion of dating and marriage. And we cannot imagine as Americans that the government would be in the dating business. But in Singapore, that's possible and it happens. But I was explaining to her that in America we value, maybe our number one value is freedom, and we distrust big government and authoritarian figures, and so we would never make this trade-off. We'll live with a little bit of danger. And so because of our values as Americans, I think it's difficult to understand exactly what it means to submit to a sovereign one, a monarch, a king, a sovereign lord, because it's just totally foreign to our mentality. And this mentality we hold very deeply. But I would submit that even humans in general are naturally resistant to authority, especially God's authority. R.C. Sproul, in fact, writes, every sin is an assault against God's sovereign authority. And so how then should we as Christians, as believers in Jesus, as disciples of Christ, respond to God as Adonai, the one who reigns as King and Lord over all? And I'm briefly, over the next few minutes, going to go through three short points of how we can respond to God's authority. And the first would be to recognize God's authority. Now, I was a political science major at the University of Wisconsin, economics and political science major, so I love to talk about politics. I'm not an expert necessarily at it, but I like to talk about it and read about it. And of course, there's many different types of government, and there are monarchies in existence today. There's countries like Great Britain that has a queen, and a line of kings and queens, and Spain and many other countries. But are those monarchs, do they have power in those countries? Well, no. The power in Great Britain is that of the Prime Minister and their parliament, and the king and queen are more of figureheads. Now, in some places, I think maybe Saudi Arabia and some of the Middle Eastern states, they actually continue to have monarchs, and who do rule and who do have the power. But that is becoming increasingly less as time has gone on. But for the most part, when people think of a monarch now, it's more of a power of influence. But in this, in biblical times, a monarch had absolute power. And so if one happened to question the power of a monarch, or if one decided we're going to go on some kind of a strike against the government or protest in some way, well, very likely you would end up in jail or, you know, in some prison. You might even end up, if you spoke against the king, to get your, you know, your head cut off or something, or hang by the gallows. And there was no due process. That the king had, or the queen had, the absolute authority. And so this would be the mentality of even in the New Testament. They had Caesar, and they had governors like Herod who controlled and had absolute authority, and they could basically do what they wanted. And so Herod decided, well, I'm going to give a gift, and I'm going to, I think it was his wife's daughter, or actually not wife, his fiance, I don't even call it fiance then, but she said, I'd like John the Baptist's head on a platter. And so no due process, just cut off the head, and that was it. And a ruler could do that in those days. But when we see here this vision of Isaiah, we get a little bit of his view and attitude towards God, and what the attitude would be of one who was a monarch. And we see here that he exclaimed, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so, as Americans especially, I can't speak for those who are from China, but those, maybe if you've lived here a long time, you know, we need to work hard at this, to acknowledge Christ as, and God as, the sovereign one in our lives. So first, we need to recognize God's authority. Secondly, we are called to reflect on God's authority. And I think I may have shared this before, but I remember one semester in college, we had a Bible study, and we decided as a group that we really wanted to reflect as a Bible study on God's sovereignty, God's rule and reign in our lives. And so we all memorized Psalm 46:10, "Cease striving, or be still, and know that I am God. I am exalted in the nations, I am exalted in the earth." And we really, in our lives, tried to see that God was in control. And when things seemed to get out of hand, we would pray for each other and encourage one another of God's, that God was in charge in our lives. And so, as we reflect even on this passage here, no matter what we're going through, God is in charge. And I encourage you to reflect indeed on God's rule and reign in your lives. And so we're called to recognize God's authority, reflect on God's authority, but finally, and maybe most importantly, to submit to God's authority. This may be the hardest thing to do, to submit to his authority, to recognize his lordship. It means doing what he wants to do and following his path, no matter what the difficulty or the problem. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever seen the movie. For those of you younger, you probably haven't, but there was a movie many years ago called Hoosiers. I don't know if you know what a Hoosier is, but a Hoosier is someone from the state of Indiana. And so in Indiana, much like when we were living in North Carolina, is a basketball heartland. People just live for basketball, especially college basketball, and the University of Indiana Hoosiers have won many championships. And this movie Hoosiers was about a high school team that was seeking glory in their pursuit of championships. And in the movie, they have a description, and they talk about, and they show a coach who came to the team, and he was seeking to help the team to work as a team. And so he made a rule, and he said that every time the team went on offense to try to score, they had to pass the ball three times. That was the rule. It doesn't matter, you have to pass it three times, and then you can shoot and do whatever you want. And so they had a star player, superstar player on the team, and, you know, he would be probably, in the future, play in college or whatever. Well, he didn't like the coach, and he didn't like his rules, and so during the game, the player just kept going down the court and shooting without passing. And indeed, the team won the game, but the coach exercised his authority. And so he benched the star player, and he wouldn't let him play because he would not submit. He wouldn't listen to him. And what happened? So the star player is not playing for the team because of his disobedience, and the team began to lose. And of course, in losing, the fans are getting kind of upset, and why are you benching the player? and the coaches being second guessed. But what was the ultimate result? Well, the result was the team lost some games, but they eventually developed faith in their coach, and they eventually began to work as a team and began to win games, and they became one of the best teams in the state of Indiana. Now, I won't let you know if they won the championship. You'll have to go watch that movie or rent it on wherever you can rent movies nowadays. But nonetheless, following God's rule is much like this team following their coach. It may be difficult at times, but ultimately, God desires our welfare, that we may experience life as we were created to live as His children. It is folly indeed to resist the one who has absolute authority over creation, over our world, in fact, over the universe. But we're called as those who are followers of Jesus to submit to God's authority, and ultimately this will benefit us because we will realize that indeed we can trust God, that we can rest in Him, and that we can rejoice in Him because our lives are in His hands. And so let's be encouraged to acknowledge and recognize God's authority, reflect on His rule and reign in our lives, and to submit to God and do what He wants us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that Isaiah and so many other of godly men and women throughout the Scriptures did indeed follow You as Lord, and help us as we seek to walk with You, to submit to Your authority, and to realize that our submission indeed is for our benefit, because through that then we can flourish as Your children. We thank You, Lord, that Your yoke is not burdensome, but that it's light, and that indeed You care for us and love us. Lord, we thank You in Christ's precious name. Amen.